You should run for office.
Kyle, do you know how many people are in elected office in this country?
I guessed 5,000.
You did guess 5,000 a few minutes ago, and then we messed this up. It's actually over 500,000 people are in elected office.
Way off.
And it sounds like a lot of people, but there's also 330 million people in America. That's also a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It's like growing, apparently. I don't know the trends too well. I try and pay attention to some of them. But in my household, the number has grown over the years. Mm-hmm. Maybe that will change in yours. I started this podcast. You're my first guest. And it's because we want to encourage people to run for office. So that's why this podcast, episode one, you should run for office. Each episode, we're going to be talking to a different person who is an elected official, like myself and like Kyle, who has run for office, or someone who's currently running for office. It could be for borough council, mayor, city council, state representative, maybe Congress. Maybe we'll get a senator. Maybe if this is so successful, we'll get the next president.
The next president will be great.
Yeah, the next president. Not the current one. I don't want to have him on because my head will explode. My name is Tony Heil. I am on Bridgeport Borough Council. Bridgeport is in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. Montgomery County actually has more population than many states.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 750,000 people or something like that.
Wow.
You should. Yeah, I know. People don't think about it because Montgomery County looks so small on the map. But and I was elected in 2013. It's a very valuable, rewarding experience to be in office. And one of the things that can be challenging is getting other people to take the leap and do it. But in 2018, we saw a lot of first-time candidates running for office and winning. We actually saw that in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you saw that in other years, too, but there was just an influx of people running. And that's really great. As we get into 2019 and 2020 and beyond, we need the next group of leaders who are often younger or maybe not younger, but have thought about it and have new ideas to run for office, too. So, I thought the best way to get this podcast series running is to start at the top. Start at the position that's at the top of the ladder, and you can't get any higher than president. So, I have invited our council president in Bridgeport, Kyle Shank. Kyle, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you very much, Tony. This is the first time as a podcast guest for me, so I appreciate you having me over.
Yeah, and you were joking, like, you're like, oh, you can edit this. I'm like, I'm not going to edit
Please edit it.
I'm the one that's messed up so far. So in each of these podcasts, we're going to talk about different things, but it's going to be very similar. We're going to talk about the person who I'm interviewing, why they ran for office, what are the issues they care about,
mm-hmm.
What are the challenges of running for office, because it's different depending on what race, but it's also very similar. And hopefully, why you encourage other people to run.
Great.
So, Kyle, when did you run? Why did you run?
So, I ran for office. I've been through one election cycle as a politician, and that was in 2017. And I ran for Bridgeport Borough Council. We have an at-large seat that covers the entire community, and that was the seat that I ran for in 2017. And I won, or I wouldn't be sitting here right now.
Right. I would have someone else.
I would have nothing to do with this podcast.
And I would be sad, because I'm glad you won.
Yeah.
But what encouraged you to run? I know we asked you.
Sure. Well, I moved into Bridgeport about 5 or 6 years ago, and I really enjoyed the community. It's a small town. As you know, you've been here for a while. You get to know your neighbors quickly. You get to know your local business owners quickly. And I was looking, for a way to get more involved in town. So I started volunteering with some of the local fire department stuff and getting involved in some events. And then I heard from you that there was a council seat that didn't have a Democrat that had set up to run for yet. So I decided to just, go in head first and run for council. I figured, how can you get more involved than trying to run for an election in a community? So that's what drove me to do that. I think in 2016 and 2017, and certainly now, there's been a lot of attention around local politics and state politics, driven by who's in the White House and sort of the media circus around that, so it got everybody more cognizant of their local politics.
Now, I appreciate you giving me so much credit, which everyone that comes on here should do, and generally
Absolutely.
That's what I want.
Absolutely.
But let's be fair, I didn't just reach out to you.
Mm-hmm.
You have family, you have connections in Bridgeport.
Sure,
you're
sure,
selling
sure.
yourself a little bit short.
Well, yeah, a little bit.
You're more qualified than I was when I first ran.
Well, no, you've got decades of political experience.
But in terms of like your connections, so sure. your wife.
Yeah, but no, my wife has family connections in Bridgeport. Her grandfather was the principal of the Bridgeport Elementary School back in the 60s before the school districts consolidated in Pennsylvania. You know, her family's been around Upper Marion Township and Bridgeport Borough for quite some time. So I don't. I came in from Lancaster County. I'm probably the closest thing to an Amishman that Bridgeport Borough has. But I really fell in love with the community when I moved in.
That wasn't something that we were talking about needing.
Yeah, we didn't need an Amishman to fill a slot.
People were like, you know what? The thing that Bridgeport's missing is the Amish.
True, true. Well, you know, we can put up a barn if we have to put up a barn. But no, you know, there were some family connections through my in-laws in town here. But really, I was looking for a way to get more involved in the community. And as local politics really rose in everybody's mind in 2016 because of Donald Trump and his antics in D.C., it just, you know, sort of came to mind as a way to get involved. And when it turned out that, you know, there was an open spot for a Democrat to run for local council, I decided to do that.
And it was your cousin.
It was Emily. My cousin Emily. Yes. Thank you, Tony. Tony, you're great at doing podcasts.
I am. I got to add it to my resume.
You're a good interviewer.
I think it is on my resume.
So my cousin Emily Cooper Morse, she was heavily involved and actually a founding member of the Women's March on Philadelphia that they organized in 2017 and 2018 as well in response to Donald Trump's heinous treatment of women in his life. You know, they organized this Women's March on Philadelphia. They had 50, 60,000 people show up and march. So Emily was heavily involved in the local politics quickly. So she got me, you know, pulled me into the political scene as well. And, you know, I know that you and Emily had a few conversations discussing trying to find somebody to run for council in Bridgeport. So that was how that connection came about.
Yeah, and Emily, I just put down, not to give too much away here, mm-hmm. not to give too many secrets, mm-hmm. but I did just put her down as an emergency contact for my kids at school.
Oh, smart. Smart. She'll show up.
Right. And also, she also knows where the school is.
Yeah.
I remember I knew Emily because mm-hmm. her and Kevin, her husband, went mm-hmm. to their kids went to the same daycare.
Yeah.
And when we did that, I met them. They seemed like really good yeah. progressive people.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's sometimes hard to meet people as an adult, right?
Yeah.
It's just
yeah.
awkward. I'm awkward at. I've knocked on thousands of doors. But it's just, to me, I'm this is going to sound surprising, but I'm kind of an awkward dude.
I get it. No, it's what surprised me getting involved in local politics. It seems like such a big hump to get over, you know, running for office and getting elected to office. It's you know, not something that you wake up typically any given morning and decide to do. But what I found, at least at this local level, it's not that you need, you know, all these political connections or that you need... you know, some ridiculous resume to get up and do this. You just need to have a heart for people, and you need to be able to talk to folks and listen to folks and hear what they have to say and hear what they want to do in their community. And they'll support you if they feel, you know, Republican, Democrat, whatever party, whatever philosophy, if they, at the local level, if they feel like you're willing to listen to their needs and you're willing to listen to their vision for their community, they'll support you. So, just, you know, having you as a friend and having Emily as a friend, that was enough to get the ball rolling.
Yeah, so the reasons that you would say you ran, for, mm-hmm. decided to take the mm-hmm. leap, because most people, when they run for office the first time, are rather new to this,
sure.
right? Like, that's just how it should be. Like, yeah. the most of the people that are the first time at any company, it's yeah. the first time they've worked in that industry, probably. Or, you know, unless they're at, like, the high level.
Yeah.
And so in 2018, it's been really exciting. We've seen all these new people who are in Congress who may not have been elected to anything before. They bring a lot of different experiences.
Yeah.
So we know how we recruited you mm-hmm. or talked to you into doing it. But what are the... before we get into what are the issues you care about,
sure. because
we talked about the canvassing a bit, but
yeah.
what are the challenges and the joys, actually, of running for office? Because I think it's fun.
Yeah, no, I
especially
it's,
around here.
If you, well, especially in our community, because it's such a little dense community here, you can cover the whole town on a weekend knocking on doors and talking to folks and trying, you know, listening to people and asking for their support. You know, there is, it certainly did become a very time-consuming effort. More so than I think I thought at the beginning, but that was because it took a lot of time because I enjoyed the time that I gave. And I think if you're going to run for office and you're going to try to represent people in a democracy, whether it's, you know, in Washington, D.C. or whether it's in Bridgeport Borough, you have to enjoy talking to people because they want you to represent their needs and their desires. So that once you start to enjoy it and you start to get some momentum, you'll spend all of your spare time trying to go out and talking to folks. So it was a bit of a surprise that the campaigning for even such a local seat in a town of, you know, 4,500 people would take so much time. But you learn to enjoy it. You learn to really, really appreciate it. And then to continue with that, the fun part for me really was canvassing. The fun part was going out and talking to people, you know, every weekend, going out and talking to people after work through the week. Because you get to know your neighbors. You get to know the people that are the business owners. You get to know the people that are involved in the local community organizations, you know, the Elks program or the Little League or the community board or the Parks and Rec people. And you start to see that there's you start to see the same people. You start to see familiar faces in a lot of leadership positions and a lot of civic service organizations. And once you get to work with those folks, you really, you know, develop a network of people that have a heart for their community. And those are the type of people that I like to spend my time around.
And really, if you're not in politics, there's not a lot of reason to knock on people's doors.
Sure. Right? Yeah. Like, yeah. Unless you're selling aluminum siding or, you know.
Yeah. But do people do that?
I guess they do. Or you, windows.
You,
or
you do some of this.
Try to tell you to change your electric provider. I don't know. Why else would you knock on people's doors?
And people in general are usually nice.
Mm-hmm.
You very often.
Yeah.
No matter their political.
Yeah. Life. And Tony, you've said that to me before. You said that to me when we talked about running. You said you'll be... You know, people are usually nice, and I kind of expected when I went out and knocked on doors for them not to be nice, especially because it's politics, and conversations about politics can get so ugly. You know, I kind of thought that people would get in my face, and they would complain, or they would, you know, they would yell at me, or they'd have problems, but it wasn't. People appreciated talking to somebody that was going to get involved in local government. They like to be listened to.
Exactly. People love to be listened to.
Yes.
And it sounds bad. It almost seemed like I interrupted you, but I think that's the thing I've learned the most about politics.
Yeah.
Is that I mean, we both talk a lot when we're on council together, and especially you never shut up. But people, I think in general, whether it's politics or religion even, or in relationships, they want to be listened to, and they don't want to just think that you're there to just... Get your minimum amount of time. Yeah, they want to know that you are genuinely listening to.
Yeah.
I have found that people would rather you disagree with them, but clearly listen to them.
Yeah.
Than that you just gave a platitude and walked away.
Yeah, and Tony, not to I will continue to sell you because I've really enjoyed working with you. That's your strength that I've found working with you, and I've appreciated that working with you on our local council. That you are a great listener, and even when you do disagree about an issue, you can make somebody feel like they're heard. And I think that's why you're so successful. And not to toot Tony's horn, but toot, in the 2017 elections, he won his election by the biggest margin of any of the council people running, because he had 4 years of listening to people, and the folks that lived in his area responded to that.
Well, and that brings me to one of the challenges and opportunities of running for office. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons I thought to do this podcast and bring it up with you is that, you know, like, you're running against an incumbent who didn't have a lot of time. You know, she had only been elected a couple years before that, too. So it's not like she had years of experience.
Yeah.
But she had done a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's harder to run the first time.
Yeah.
But once you run the first time, and you can build up a record, and then you take more time and knocking on... Like, when I knock on doors this year, coming here, I'm not up for election.
Yeah.
And so I can do it casually, take my time.
Yeah.
You're more likely to win by more the next time.
Yeah.
Unless you do a really bad job,
yeah.
In which case, you know, that it's too bad.
But yeah.
It's easier to win the second time than the first time.
Yeah,
I think.
Well, good. That's good to hear. Thank you, Tony, because I'm running for the second time in 2019.
If you're doing a good job, and I think that you've been involved in all sorts of things. You go to everything.
Yeah.
You also do things as an elected official that you probably wouldn't do as a normal person, like regular person or. Mm-hmm. Candidate, even like you go to ribbon cuttings.
Yeah,
we go to a ton of those.
You go to
hearings.
Yep.
You go to a lot of things, and you're visible, and people notice that.
And we have a great thing here in Bridgeport with all of the community events that we do, because we are such a close knit community with carnivals and 5Ks and that sort of thing. So there's a great opportunity to get, you know, involved in the organizational level for those community events that really do touch so many people in town. Yeah, and that's a great way as a candidate, especially if you're going to run again, you want to continue to be in office. You make sure you go out and you go to those events, you go to those items. We have a great Memorial Day service here in Bridgeport and a Veterans Day service here in Bridgeport. So you go to those things and you thank your community members that have served in the military, and you get your face out there, and let your residents know how much you appreciate them, and they'll return the favor on Election Day.
And you know, we talk about Bridgeport in Montgomery County, where if you're not from here, though, if you're friends with me, you probably know about Bridgeport at this point. But it's you know, tucked away between Norristown, which is a bigger town.
The county seat, yeah. Right,
and King of Prussia, which is blossoming. It's getting bigger all the time. Literally, there's just something new happening every week in terms of the growth there, which helps us.
Yeah.
Because we're the same school district. It keeps our taxes down. People are buying homes. But even so, even if you're running in Philadelphia, even if you're running in a big city, for the most part, most races are not hundreds of thousands of votes you need to get. Most of it are smaller things.
Yeah.
And you do get that interaction that you wouldn't necessarily get if you weren't involved in politics.
Yeah, even here in Bridgeport, our council seats are divided up by voting ward, and we have three wards in Bridgeport. So as small of a town as Bridgeport is, you know, you and as a Ward 3 councilman, you know, you represent a third of that town. So, you know, you can really make the effort to concentrate
the best third.
Your time, the best third. Concentrate. Yeah, well, I live in Ward 3 as well. So you get to, we get to concentrate our time and effort on a smaller group of people and really make those personal connections. And that's what it's all about at this level of democracy.
Yeah, and I think what I found from listening to really successful politicians at higher levels is that many of them know the value of having that personal connection. Yeah. So, you know, I remember going to a meeting with, you know, with Brendan Boyle, who's a congressman in Philadelphia, who I like a lot, and he knows his area really well.
Yeah.
He'd run for local office and won before, so he could tell you about the neighborhoods really well.
Yeah.
And that tells you that he's paying attention.
Yeah.
I remember going to a meeting with former Congressman Mike Fitzpatrick from Bucks County, and I was with somebody in D.C., and she said, oh, I live in Ottsville. You probably don't know it. He's like, oh, yeah, there's an ice cream place. Like, it makes a difference.
Yeah.
They probably, they may have been some people there in that meeting who, well, they wouldn't vote for him just because of party. But
I've thought about that a lot, you know, especially being involved in at least, you know, helping to volunteer and canvass in the 2018 midterms. If you're running for, say, a congressional seat, you know, that seems to me like such a whole different strategy. You know your area, and you can know your area very well, but it's very hard to have a personal connection with 500,000 people. But if you're interested in running for office and you start at this local level, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to think about that. If you're the type of person whose motivations are honest, people pick up on that. And as long as you're willing to talk to as many people as you can talk to, you'll be successful. You'll be more successful than your, you know, your own instincts may allow you to feel at the outset.
Right. So we talked about how you know, the joys of actually talking to people, getting out of your shell, meeting a lot of people you wouldn't otherwise meet. And that's something you can get no matter what race you run for in this country. And you also talk about, like, all the things you learn about, especially on a local level. But you get that no matter what race you run for.
Sure.
But were there any, like, challenges that you weren't prepared for or you expected? Or maybe challenges weren't so bad.
Well, I hadn't. Well, when I jumped in, I knew that I had an idea of what, you know, my community looked like and where to go and what streets and blocks that I would go knocking on doors. But I had no experience with the with campaign fundraising or the budgeting that gets involved in that. And even at the local level, you know, to go out and try to win a council election like we have here in Bridgeport, frankly, it costs more money than I have, right, you know, than I would want to spend out of pocket. So you have to go ask for other people's support
financially. And I think would rather hear that you raised money than you bought a seat.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. But it's a lot easier for me and probably most people to knock on a door and talk to somebody and introduce yourself as a candidate than it is to knock on a door and ask for money. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not necessarily what we do. You don't go door to door asking for money. But you do look to supporters in the community that you know have been involved in politics in the past. You look to, you know, your party, if you're a Democrat or if you're a Republican, you know, you look to your party infrastructure and you ask them for some help. You know, they may have some contacts. They may know people that are interested in supporting good candidates at the local level financially. But that was a challenge for me because, you know, I struggled with asking people for money.
It always feels weird.
Yeah.
Not just asking for people, but that people give it to you.
Yeah, there's that too. There's that too. But they do. There's a lot, you know, there's a lot of folks that want to be involved in local government, you know, but they don't have the time to run for office or they don't think that's what they want to do. But they can help financially. And there are a lot of people that are willing to do that. More people than you would think at the outset.
Yeah. And I would encourage people to actually give money to politics in general, because there's a lot of fundraisers where it seems out of bounds, right?
Yeah.
Like if you go to most of the people running for president, if they're having a fundraiser, let's be honest, like the actual fundraisers, it costs you hundreds, if not thousands of dollars to go to, unfortunately. But you could go to a fundraiser for your senator, U.S. senator, And depending on where it is, you could find one where you could get in and say, look, I can only give $50.
Yeah.
Which is still a lot of money for a lot of people, yeah. But you can get in. You can probably meet your senator in that.
Sure.
Way.
Yeah, that's a great point. If you,
and
you
they
know,
notice you go.
Yeah. If you reach out, excuse me. If you reach out to your you know, your local political organization, you know, your maybe your county, you know, your county Democratic committee or your county Republican committee, if you want to get more involved, they can give you a calendar of events that are around your area that are fundraisers, and you know, it might be a $25 fundraiser, and you know, you go have some wings and you get to meet your local elected officials. But if you do that every other weekend, you know, it's not any different than going out for dinner. You know, pretty soon you really get to know the folks that are involved in your local government, you know, and they can help you. If you're interested in getting involved, they can help give you some advice. They can help give you some guidance. You can see who's successful at those and look for role models. Yeah,
you can go to these fundraisers sometimes and say, oh, Jill, you are at a bunch of these. Can you help me raise money? And they're happy to do it.
Sure.
I'm sure it's, well, I don't know if it's the same with the Republicans, because lately they seem more self-centered than not. But, like, in general, mm-hmm. people want to help each other mm-hmm. in politics. If you don't, then you're probably not going to be successful.
Yeah.
If we worked together, and I knew you wanted to run for Congress, which if you do one day, great. But you didn't want to be helpful to me, and you were kind of, and I don't think you'd be like, you pat my back, I pat your back. But, like, it's just life. If you're going to be a jerk, I don't want to help you.
Yeah.
And if we're going to be nice to each other, I don't want to help you. And people in general, I think that, especially these days with the tone of politics, people in the progressives want to elect more progressive-minded people.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
So raising money, even for a local office, we didn't have to raise tens of thousands of dollars.
No.
It wasn't a lot of money.
No.
But
still more than you just want to write, you know, you just want to take out of your own bank account, or more than you're able to take out of your own bank account. So you do have to be willing to go out and ask for it. So
yeah, if I told my wife, look, I'm running for office, I need to spend $1,000. Like, why?
Yeah.
Because we don't make all money on this. Like, we get paid, but it's not much.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone is in this level of local politics for the money.
Absolutely not.
I hope not. and we, you know, a lot of the time when we give back in some way anyway. So, and I think that most people I talk to will say the biggest challenge is fundraising in some way and asking people for money. But we need to kind of get past that taboo of politics, because there's a lot of people who are in office because they're successful and willing to raise money.
Yeah.
And if more people get involved, like I said, the second time you run, whatever you're running for, you're more likely to win.
Yeah.
So if you can get past that, then you can kind of break that mold of people winning because they're willing to ask for their
money. Yeah, and the fundraising question and anything else that may be a challenge, that, you know, even just the logistical side of things. Well, you know, if I have to get some, if I want to get on the ballot as a candidate, I have to get a petition signed by 50 people. And that's, you know,
well, only need 10.
I only need 10 this year. But, you know, you can start by law. You can start collecting signatures on a certain date. You have to have them done by another date. You have to have campaign finance reports in on a third date.
Right. The petitions seem so arbitrary.
Yeah.
In February.
Yeah. But, the logistical side of things, if you're not familiar with that, you don't know all those dates. You don't know what you need to do to have everything done, have your I's dotted and your T's crossed, and make sure that everything's, you know, done correctly, so that if you do win an election, you can't be challenged because, you know, you forgot to have the right paper signed in triplicate and you know, sent into the county office on the right date. So I guess what I'm getting at is don't be nervous about reaching out and asking for help. If you think that this is something you want to do, and I highly encourage it, it's been very rewarding for me, you know, go out and ask for help. Go to your local city council meeting or go to your township supervisor meeting and just ask. Find somebody that's done this before and say, I'm interested in doing this. I'm interested in running. Who should I talk to?
And if they're not willing to help you, then find a way to beat that
person. Yes, absolutely.
Because,
absolutely.
You know, there's, this obviously doesn't apply to us, but there was, someone had said that, you know, there's a special place in hell for women who don't help women because of the historical things of women. Just, you know, if you are in politics and you're not willing to help other people succeed in politics, now, granted, you don't want your opposition to win if you're ideological, but like, if you're not willing to build up more people, then you need to get out.
Yeah. And that's another good reason, I think, you know, in 2017, when we saw so many local candidates come out, in 2018, so many new congressional midterm candidates come out.
And state legislative candidates.
Part of it is not just you yourself as a candidate running for office. Part of it is encouraging others to do the same And then what you're looking to do is build a bigger, broader, deeper bench of people that have some political experience that when it does come time to look for a congressman or look for a senator or look somebody, you know, for Philadelphia City Council or for governor, you have more people that have more experience and you have a wider pool to draw from so that you can find, the best candidate for the job.
And, you know, you make a good point about governor because there's all these other statewide races.
Mm-hmm.
Like the governor's got commissions and things that you could be appointed to.
Yeah.
Our mayor, Mark Barbie, was appointed to a commission by
yeah.
the governor.
Yeah.
He probably wouldn't have been if he hadn't been involved and run as mayor.
If he hadn't been, and also so active going to, different political events all over Montgomery County and all over Pennsylvania. I know our mayor supports the local LGBT Business Alliance, and he's been going to different county meetings and getting his face out there. He wouldn't have had the opportunity to get appointed to that seat in Harrisburg if he hadn't done that. So again, get out there, go to those meetings, ask your local committee for a calendar of events and just show up. That's the biggest step. The biggest first step is just to show up.
So we've talked about a bunch of like ground level things,
mm-hmm.
why you ran, the challenges, the opportunities, and success, and we even touched a bit on why you should run. But we can give a little bit of a 1 or 2 minute synopsis at the end there too.
Mm-hmm.
But we talked about kind of the machine of politics,
mm-hmm.
and that why it's not that bad. But what are the things that kind of motivate you? Are there any issues that are really important to you? They can be local, they can be national, they can be international, they can be global.
Well, I'll start. We can start. Not quite galactic. We can start locally. As you mentioned in Bridgeport, we have this, this fortuitous position here between the county seat in Norristown and King of Prussia. That's one of the fastest growing commercial areas of Pennsylvania right now. We're only 20 minutes outside of Philly if the traffic's not bad, 40 if it is bad. We live in a great school district. We have reasonable taxes. So we're primed right now in this community for a lot of growth. And I saw that when I bought my home here 5 years ago. So, one of my motivators was to get in to council, get into local government. And as that growth happens in Bridgeport that's happening now and will continue to accelerate, I want to make sure that growth is something that benefits everybody in town.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to see just a couple developers, really take over and only build a bunch of luxury housing for a very select few. That happens in some communities. You don't want to see a very specific targeted commercial development that only benefits a few people. That happens in other communities. To me, as I saw this growth accelerating, one of the things that I talked to folks about in town when I canvassed and I knocked on doors was that I want that to benefit everybody. And you can do that with good planning. I know on council we've been talking about coming up with a new comprehensive plan next year for the borough.
Mm-hmm. And how that fits in with everyone else in the area.
Absolutely, yeah. And to sort of dovetail our comprehensive plan in with everybody else's comprehensive plan so that we can leverage the growth of the area around us best for the residents of Bridgeport. And that was something I talked about when I campaigned. And I think we've really done a good job of that over this past year, and I want to continue to do that.
And I think
so. That's one issue locally. As you go up the food chain, obviously a lot of people had their eyes open to how detrimental politics can be if good people aren't getting involved. You see who's in the White House now. That happens. I don't want to point fingers or place blame, but I know that everybody can work harder in their own little slice of this country. And if we all do that, then the next time a guy like Donald Trump comes around and he wants to run, he's going to have a much stronger, much better organized opposition, and we don't have to go through this again. So the whole thing rolls up. You're looking to build a bigger organization, a wider pool of people to draw from to run for office, a wider pool of people that are helping financially. And if we do that here in Bridgeport and everybody else does that where they are, then we have a better government for everybody, and that's the whole point. That's the whole point of our democracy.
Yeah, and I was listening to you. That's what we're thinking about doing,
mm-hmm.
how you're successful is. And what I hear is, shared responsibility and shared prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that works on the top level, and you're able to make it work on the local
yeah.
level. And anyone can do that if they put their mind and their time to it.
Yeah.
That's something we hear about. The economy's doing well in the country, and the CEO of Starbucks
yeah.
is doing well.
Yeah.
Well, are the employees doing well?
Yeah.
If the people at Walmart are doing well, are their employees doing
yeah,
well?
Yeah, absolutely.
And not only at the corporate level, but, are the farms doing well? Are
yeah.
the boroughs doing well? That's that's good.
Yeah.
And that means you can take that value up and down. And
yeah.
And so many people go on Facebook and share that value and that concern about the prosperity and the responsibility in Washington, D.C. But you can use that in your local neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you also talk about, you know, the shared responsibility of trying to build up a network. And I, you know, I just posted this blog the other day about the escalation in politics and how the tone of rhetoric and the tactics have gone, you know, very extreme, especially in the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And I know I'm more biased and sure. I'm going to continue to be because I don't like these people. I mean, there's a lot of Republicans who I like personally, and that's fine, but like the terms of the yeah. Trumpism
yeah.
and the Newt Gingrichism and
yeah.
Scott Walker and all those bad people. But you know, you are the best way to combat that is to have the largest, most organized political structure possible.
Yes. Yeah. And even, and just other civic organizations as well. I, you know, our, the council president that I replaced, John Pisa, he gave me a book to read when I first came on council. It was called Bowling Alone. And it was the idea
of... He didn't give me a book.
He didn't give you a book. He gave me a book. But Bowling Alone, the idea is, you know, in the U.S., post-World War II, you had this huge upsurge of people that were involved in civic organizations and organized in their local communities. And that sort of went by the wayside, you know, through the 80s and 90s. A lot of that local civic organization sort of dissolved. And you can see that as you look around. You know, you don't always necessarily know your neighbors. You don't see them because you know, you're not going to the Elks Club or the Rotary Club or the Fire Department, all the other things that were very strong organizations in the past that may not have quite as many people coming out. What I hope and what I really do think I see is the millennials, dun-dun-dun, millennials, they are picking that ball up again. They want to organize. They want to know their neighbors. They want to have a strong community.
Millennials so. Get dumped on, both literally and figuratively. Yeah,
absolutely.
More than they deserve because...
Yeah.
I just saw that the highest level increase in turnout
mm-hmm.
in Philadelphia in 2018 mm-hmm. was amongst young people.
Great.
You saw a big increase everywhere else.
Great.
And that is with, you know, I think it's different here.
Yeah.
I'm doing a visual on a podcast. but, you know, politicians don't do enough to talk to young people. They
yeah.
just don't.
Yeah.
For sometimes a logical reason because yeah. they know that older people vote.
Yeah.
You know, if more younger people are running, which we saw, they're going to be more better, fresher voices in Congress and in state legislatures and in borough councils.
I think just strengthening those communities, having whatever that organization is that you're getting involved in, if it's a church organization or a civic organization or if it's local politics, getting younger people, the millennials, involved in those. I think I don't want to say reaching out and getting the millennials involved. I think the millennials want to be involved. They want to see that in their communities. Mm-hmm.
They want to be asked.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like you said, people want to be listened to.
Yeah.
People also want to be asked.
Yeah.
It's hard to get people to fundraise. We're to get right this set, but you find out that there's people who are like, I'm so glad you asked me for $50.
Sure, but you know, look at, like you said, look at the big upswell in voter turnout, but also in candidates. How many? You know, how many under 35s are holding office now in this country just over the last 2 years, how that's changed. I think that is going to continue. I hope that is going to continue because I think that's something this country desperately needs for, you know, for the generations that are now starting to take over, you know, in business and in the community leadership roles.
Yeah. And to go on one last point here, I would encourage anyone who's under 35 who is in elected office or running to check out the YEO, the Young Elected yeah. Officials Network. It's a great progressive, nonpartisan, mm-hmm. but it's progressive. Like it's,
sure.
And there's a lot of people there who you can connect with.
There's another organization called Run for Something.
Yes.
And they supported us here in Bridgeport in 2017 because we had several candidates that were under 35. So again, if you're thinking about running for office, there are all these organizations out there like the Young Elected Officials organization and like Run for Something. Shoot them an email. They will respond. There are people out there that are really there to support you if you decide to do this.
And it is a really rewarding and kind of, it still often feels bonkers to me. Like I was saying in a weird hearing we had the other day about boredness. I'm like, this just feels weird,
yeah.
right? But sometimes before you ever run for office yourself, it sounds weird that anyone would ever vote for you.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully. If you're the kind of person like, yeah, everyone will vote for me, then you're kind of probably not the kind of person I want to vote for.
Yeah.
But then you find out that people do.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's people who are going to vote for you because you're a Democrat or because you're a Republican or won't vote for your opponent. But I would say that most of the people you knocked on their doors for, they're voting for you because they met you.
Yeah.
They like you.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just, as someone who was always awkward, I'm just like, I can't believe all these people know
me. Like I said, people want to be heard. People want to be listened to. So if you're willing to do that, you'll make those connections.
Right. So we talked a lot about all these different things, the issues that are important, the challenges and joys of running for office and why you did it. Just really briefly, any words of encouragement to tell people why they should run in 2019 or 2020?
Yes, absolutely. Look, if you, whatever community that you live in, if you want to be a part of that community, if you want to make those connections and you want to build a stronger community, for you, your family, for your neighbors, if that's your goal, then running for local office, I think, is something that you absolutely should look into doing, because I think it is the most effective way to use your time and your energy and your talents to push positive change on your community. And if you're the type of person that pushing positive change on your community is a priority for you, then please do look into this. Reach out, ask for help. You'll have so much more support than you would have initially thought. It's out there. You can do it.
I think it's very personally rewarding. And as I'm listening to you again, one thing that does strike me is, even if you don't win, even if it's an uphill battle, you can change the debate, maybe make someone scared, like, I know that in Montgomery County there was an issue about water quality in an area. And I imagine that candidates were like, we better pay. People in office were like, we better pay more attention to that because people now care.
Yeah.
So even if you think it's a very uphill battle, you should still consider running for office. Because people are there to help you. You can change the game. And you could, even if you lose, could change your community for the better.
Absolutely.
Good. Well, thanks, Kyle. I appreciate having the president here.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate being invited to a podcast.
Easily one of my favorite presidents in today.
Good. Well, I'll hang that up on my wall. Thanks, Tony.
All right. Well, and I encourage everyone, you can go to Run for Something. Look that up on Google. You can look for the YEO network. You can message me, TonyHeil@gmail.com. I will set up something here soon. I'm hoping to set up a Patreon and other stuff here in 2019 to encourage more people. And message me on social media or email if you'd like to take part in this podcast, or you have a guest in mind that you think has an interesting story or has done a lot in politics or is just starting out, because we need all the perspectives. And I think looking for those perspectives is a topic we'll discuss in a future podcast.
Great.
So, in the meantime, have a great new year.
Absolutely. You too, Tony. Enjoy the holidays.
I will. It's going to be great. With a three-year-old and a five-year-old. They can't wait. Thank you, everyone. And make sure that, take the leap in 2019, take the leap in 2020, and you should
run for office.
Great.